Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
I'm Francis.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother over here, Francis, watch a bad movie, critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we think. And here we are, back after our 50th episode, 51st episode, and since summer is winding down, and basically over at this point, I figured we would go back and watch some classic movies of a genre, of a foregone genre that no longer exists. The boob comedy. The movie that is just a bunch of kids running around, and basically it's an excuse to put it on HBO and show boobs. And this week, what's your problem?
Well, I don't know. This is the dumbest idea ever.
And this week, we watched 1983's Canadian boob comedy film, Screwballs.
Yeah, this is, if you want to look for a hot dog, this might be the ultimate epitome of what a...
Oh, we have watched way worse movies than this. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, what was the zombie movie? That one was just...
Redneck Zombies, yeah, Double worse. Down. We just watched that like 3 weeks ago. That was horrible.
Double Down. But, I guess I never saw this as a kid.
Well, I never saw this as a kid either.
It's interesting, but we'll get to
you,
it.
But didn't you watch... You never watched boob comedies? You never, like, stayed up late and put on HBO at, like, midnight and, like, one of these came on? Or, like... You never watched USA Up All Night or something? You just sat there and you watched that garbage?
No, I actually was not really, not till like much later. I was at least 17 or 18 before I did that. I guess I...
Okay, yeah. but you did that,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. Well, okay, we had HBO and all the premium things, so yeah, I mean...
Yeah, so I did the same thing. You watch these and you're just like... You're 12 and you have a weird boner and you don't know why.
Got to record it on VHS for the next day.
That's right, for prosperity, for later.
Right.
But this movie cost $800,000 and it made $1.4 million, so it was a runaway box office success.
Made what, $600,000?
Hey, covered the budget and the marketing that didn't exist for this film.
Jeez.
So this is written by a B-movie auteur, Jim Wynorski, who is in the famous documentary that everybody absolutely should see, Papatopoulos. It's brilliant. But it's written by him and co-written by Linda Shane, who was the blonde woman in the movie.
That's interesting that she was... I didn't even realize that until just now.
Yeah, she wrote the movie, which makes you, when you watch it knowing that, you're like, why did she write all this dialogue, and why did she write these women like this?
I'm like, who agreed to be in this movie?
A bunch of Canadian people who needed 50 bucks, yeah, and a lunch?
50 bucks and a lunch, because it's downright just detestable.
Oh, yeah, like, this is... There's a reason that these movies don't exist anymore, because, like, they really are appalling.
Yeah, I mean, if it came today and, you know, something like this came out just in the theaters, it would be really, I mean, there would be an outrage.
Oh, just the attitude that they present, like, with these guys in school. It's just like, just have sex with women just because that's what you do.
And the women are like, yeah, we like being symbols of that, you know?
Yeah, make me an object or whatever. Like, it really is like, man, you cannot do this anymore. Which is why it's so brilliant, because it's like a time capsule. It's not a time capsule of, like, the 80s where everybody's playing Atari and we're all wearing goofy clothes. It's a time capsule in the sense of, like, what was right and wrong and what was okay and what was considered comedy or a movie even.
Yeah, and we always joke about, like, just one-liners, like, ooh, can't say that anymore, you know, but this one is, like, the whole movie is, like, can't do any of that anymore.
All of these people should be in jail.
Oh, yeah, and we'll definitely be getting into that in a moment.
But what is one of my favorite things is this is set in America but made in Canada, but we do if you pay attention, there are a few aboots that get slipped in.
Yeah, and I actually noticed that, and I was like, oh, this is Canadian?
It is. Yeah. It's set in Canada. And if you watch it, too, like, once you, like, start to, like, we start to talk about it and you get the layout of this school, I'm like, where the fuck is this?
Yeah, and, yeah, it's just, I love all these 80s and 90s movies. And I'm like, what high school is this?
Because yes! Like, this high school that has, like, its cafeteria is, like, a full kitchen.
Yeah, and then you'll have, like, oh, the program's like, we have an airplane now, which we'll get into later.
They have their own airplane repair shop in a high school. Well, we might as well start
talking about it. Let's get into
it
here.
Here we go. So the movie opens on a hot dog stand with two girls who are holding a sign, moaning and giggling while... This also, the sign says they have their 69-cent combo, so already we've got a sex joke in, and the movie hasn't even started, while a giant cardboard cutout of a chef pushes a giant foam hot dog up their butts.
Yeah, and again, I'm just going to say right now, I actually feel really uncomfortable talking about a lot of this movie. It's just really...
As soon as that started, I sat there and I just went, oh boy, here we go.
And I was like, oh, and I sat down and my wife's sitting next to me. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
Then there is an extremely generic rockabilly song. Like, I don't know, like, this is clearly set in the 80s.
But it's
because
like a 60s
of, like,
song almost, you know?
Not even 60s, like 50s. Yeah. Like, it's all the music in this is like jukebox malt shop poodle skirt,
like,
music.
Got my girl, gonna give her a varsity jacket.
Yeah, that's what the songs are like. And of course, it's just like five guys trying to rape women for 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's one of the saving graces to this film is it's less than an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a smooth 80 minutes long. You're in and you're out.
Oh.
So,
is that a pun intended? Or?
Oh, no pun intended. Oh, so you're gross. Why would you ever even think that? Ugh, perv. So, the name of the school they go to is Taft and Adams Academy, or TNA Academy. Get it?
Yeah.
You get it?
I got it, thanks. Yeah, you get it,
it's
Frank.
It's a poop joke.
TNA.
It's a poop joke. So, we establish several of our stereotypes right up front.
Your favorites.
We got the preppy prick guy who's always wearing, like, an ascot and, like, a blazer, and he's all... The whole movie, from start to finish... He is carrying around a squash racket. He never, ever puts it down. Also, this guy is 35 years old. Then we got the comical fat guy.
Your favorite. You always love that the guy.
My favorite, because it only exists in the 80s. Only in the 80s did every movie have, like, that giant guy who's just like, I gotta eat chocolate for energy.
Is his name Jerkowski?
Oh, we're getting to it.
Okay.
Then we got the goofy nerd.
Right, same thing. Always have to have that stereotype.
But also, there are two splits to the stereotype in movies. Because we got, like, My Science Project. Like, the nerd in that, he was just like, well, I'm the nerd and I push my glasses up. And then we have this one, and it was also in Hamburger, the motion picture, where the nerd is also, like, the skeeviest of the group.
Yeah, super pervy, and he's going to grow up to be some sort of sex offender.
Right, exactly. But, like, they're both nerds. I don't know how and where that came up in the 80s, but for some reason, it's like, okay, you're either, you play D&D and nobody likes you, or you constantly come up with weird contraptions to look at boobies.
So, yeah,
which is what we got in this
two
one.
Two subsections of nerd, and that's it.
The two subsections. So then we have the TNA cheerleader squad, which will also, unironically, provide most of the TNA for the movie. Everyone goes to class, and then we see the Weasley principal who is on the lookout for troublemakers.
Oh my God, I could not stand this guy.
He's like, there's a girl standing in the hallway playing with a yo-yo. She's not talking to anybody.
Not doing anything wrong.
Doing anything at all, and he walks up with scissors and he cuts her yo-yo string.
Imagine if that happened today.
Well,
like,
I mean, okay, you can't. Okay, let's set up some ground rules. Number one, every time somebody does something stupid, you can't say, well, you can't do that today.
Right,
that's
fair,
a given.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, some guy sees a flyer that says, today is the freshman girl's breast exam, which is gross and also doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't exist.
The freshman girl's breast exam? What? And why would that be at the high school?
I like how it says at the infirmary, too.
Yeah, well, I was wondering when I was watching this, I'm like, is that what they call the nurse's office in Canada?
Because
it might be.
It might be, but yeah, when I watched it, I didn't know it was a Canadian movie. So yeah, just I was like, whoa, infirmary? Yeah, but that
caught my eye, too, but I'm like, I wonder if that's just what they call it in Canada, and that was one of those things that they forgot to fix.
Right.
But anyway, so this guy's like, great, I'm going to get to feel some 15-year-old's boobies.
Not even, 14. 14,
14
30, yeah.
Even though they're freshman girls, so they should be 14. However, everybody in this movie is at least 30 years old.
Because so, right, they can't have the thing where someone goes, is that person, you know?
Well, it's not only that. Like, that was all of these movies.
Yeah.
Everybody is supposed to be 16, 17, but everybody's pushing 40. So he fakes an injury to get into the nurse's office, but then he convinces the nurse to just leave.
Yeah, he says there's like an explosion in the girl's locker room or something.
Then he puts on a white coat and goes into the room where apparently all of the freshman girls are in their bra and panties. I don't know why their pants have to be on.
Because it makes sense for the movie. That's about it.
He walks in and says his name is Dr. Pepper because that is a joke in this
movie.
They
love to do this in this movie, is have funny names for everything.
Then he just starts feeling their boobs and, like, rubbing a stethoscope all over them.
And they're like, yeah, this is great. It's like, what?
And then the nurse comes back, chokes him with a stethoscope, and then this is the only example. I mean, this happens 4 more times, but, like, nothing else in the movie is like this. Where it freeze frames on this guy's face, then in big red letters, detention flashes across the screen.
And I thought that that was going to be the whole film, was just people, like different people the entire film getting detention.
And for the first 25 minutes, it is.
Yeah, but yeah, I just thought that was going to be, I thought there was going to be no main character. It was just going to be, you know, person after
well,
person
there's
getting
there's still no main character.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
There is no main character. Oh, also, there's no plot.
Zero.
There is no plot whatsoever. There starts to become the semblance of a plot in about 25 minutes, and we sort of follow it as if that's going to be what the movie's about, and then we just sort of drop that after a while.
Yeah, I can't even, it's just like, there's no connect between scene to scene, you know?
All this movie is for, man, is to put it on HBO or USA at night, so teenage boys who didn't have the internet yet could see some boobers.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, probably, that's the only reason, I am 100% right.
Is that the market for all these the boob comedies?
Oh yeah, that's like these. What do you? This movie cost $800,000. It's like it's. There are houses that cost more than this movie.
it's just a bad movie, but I definitely see where they're going with it.
Nope, it's brilliant.
Brilliant.
So then we cut to French class, which is taught by a cartoon character. She's like, she's like Pepe Le Pew with this French talk. She leaves the class for some reason that is not explained.
She's getting off on her own, like, speaking
she's literally just like, I have to leave now.
And then gives the class over to one of the students.
The preppy guy with the squash racket.
Oh, you teach the class.
It's a Canadian public school, but he's wearing an ascot and... I don't know, like, why are you even here? What is this guy doing in school? He just starts to make fun of the teacher, like, mocking her. Then he takes a papier-mâché Eiffel Tower and starts sexually harassing another student.
Multiple students, and acting
no,
is...
specifically one.
That, well, yes, in the front row.
Then the teacher comes back and just is like, stop doing that, and then the red detention letter sign shows back up. Then we cut to a new student... who is lost in the halls of the school. he asks one of the writers of the film, the blonde woman, where the boys' gym is. Well, for no reason, she just decides to be a jerk to this guy. So there's a guy is painting, for some reason, he's painting the sign that says girls' locker room. A girl walks by him. Now, in a boob comedy where later on there are just scenes with just boobs in them, you would expect this guy to be like, wow, look at that lady, and like get distracted.
Right.
But the woman who walks by is just like wearing a sweater and she's got a ponytail and she's listening to a Walkman. I don't know why he follows her.
And when he does, he like messes up the sign with his paint.
He paints over the word girl.
But not even fully. It's still basically there.
You can still see it. You can, it's bright as day. It still says girls. But he's like, oh, okay, well, I guess this is the guy's locker room. He goes in there. Oh, there's the thing where all the women, girls kick him out. And then he gets caught by the gym teacher, and the red detention sign shows up. And now he's got detention.
That's three.
So then cut to the cafeteria. And I'm sure at this point you're like, oh, this is what this movie's
right,
about.
Right, all it is people getting detention.
It's going to be 80 minutes of this somehow.
And I was so almost okay with it.
So then we cut to the cafeteria where it is like a prison riot is going on. Kids are throwing lit firecrackers at each other and, like, full cartons of milk.
Where's the staff?
There's a kid who's just standing on a table and screaming. And again, it's like, that's one of those 80s tropes of a high school where it's like, oh, the kids are just in the cafeteria having food fights. I'm like, that could never like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that's it. It always kills me in these movies. The high schools, you're like, where are they? What? Where are they? Apparently Canada.
So the comical fat guy is there working on the line, the food line at the cafeteria. He's wearing a big stupid chef's hat, and he's working the high school's ice cream sundae bar.
Yeah, and some of the things they're asking for are, like, super specific.
Yeah, it's a fully loaded ice cream sundae bar. You walk up there, you tell this comical fat guy what kind of ice cream sundae you have with the works, and he makes it for you. What, like, what? No school has that. No public school has that.
Yeah, and is he getting paid? Like, what is
the... Yeah, and it's like, first when I saw this guy, I thought he was a student. Yeah. Because, again, he looks like he's 30,
mm-hmm.
and he's working for the school, so I'm like, okay, this is a creepy guy who works at the school. But he's a student. The students don't work a job in the school in the middle of the day. You go to school.
No one in this movie goes to school and actually learns.
So he's flirting with two of the cheerleaders, and then he's like, oh, excuse me. And then he runs into the walk-in fridge to just jerk off.
I can't. I'm so uncomfortable with this movie.
There's like all of the other guys, right? Like everybody except this guy have, like, a wacky scenario that happens to them, right? Like, they do a prank, or, like, it's a misunderstanding, or something silly happens. And it might not be funny, but you can understand that it's supposed to be, right?
Right.
This guy, nothing wacky or silly. He just goes, like, excuse me, I have to go rub my penis.
Oh.
And then he just goes and jerks off in the fridge.
I can't. I'm telling you, it's just so uncomfortable. But it was funny. It was funny watching it. But like afterwards, I'm like, I don't really talk about this.
It's not even clever.
It's just like, yeah, that's what I do. I just go into the law.
That's what I do. I just jerk off in fridge.
And everyone knows it. That's what I love. He's like, yeah, I gotta go back here
because his name is Jerkofsky.
How clever.
His name is Jerkofsky.
Wonderful.
And then he gets... Because that's another running gag in this movie, is that, like, the vice principal is leading around, like, this group of beneficiaries or something.
Yeah, I guess they're probably donators or something like that.
Right, or something. And it's all these, like, of course, it's like a really old lady and a guy who looks like the Monopoly guy just going, oh, well, I never. And of course, she's like, okay, well, now let's look inside the walk-in fridge. Because I guess you would show them that, question mark? And there's just a fat guy jerking off inside it.
And detention.
Detention. Also, jail.
Jail. That'll come up quite a few times here.
Well, maybe not jail, but you would absolutely suspend that kid.
Or expel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Keep your fluids inside your own body. You're out of here.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the 80s nerd whose name is Howie.
Super nerd.
And he is setting up an elaborate mirror system so that he can stare at girls' skirts and up their skirts and be a real weirdo.
Generally, again, making me feel uncomfortable.
And, of course, he gets caught and read detention. So then we cut to the principal's office where all of these guys are waiting. And it appears as if they are just meeting each other for the first time in this room.
Yeah, it's like, aren't you guys in the same, you know, class or at least one away?
Well, except they know Jerkovsky.
Yeah, oh yeah, everyone knows Jerkovsky.
Because they say to him, where were you caught jerking off this time?
Again.
This time!
Yeah, how is he still going to school?
This happened at least two times before this.
How is he still going to school?
Exactly, like you send this kid to a halfway house.
Or, you know, get help.
Or a doctor for having some sort of sexual mental disorder.
Yeah. And then there was the one kid. There's the one kid is the new kid, like we said.
So the goofy principal starts to be a stuck-up loser by calling them perverts and heathens and trash. But he's absolutely right!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not like he's saying anything untrue.
The only one who shouldn't be there is the new kid because he got tricked.
Right.
And they sort of play him off as, like, the new innocent kid who's from the country or whatever, and he's in this big new town, and he's just an innocent guy. But they drop that, and by the end of the movie, he's also a fucking pervert.
And isn't at this point the gal walks in that they are...
The homecoming queen, yes, comes in. Her name is Purity Bush. Purity Bush.
Oh, boy.
Comes in and sees them in their seats, and she's the prissy girl, I guess, and all the boys just oogle her and stare at her and go like, look at those tits!
And no one's been able to get with her.
No, that's the thing. No one has ever had sex with her. She is a virgin. So the principal comes back and tells them all five of them got 5 days of detention, even though some of them should go to jail.
Yeah.
Jerkovsky at the very least.
Yeah, and then also I think the principal kind of has a thing for this girl too, so.
Oh, well, yeah, because the principal is also a pervert, because everybody is.
Everyone, even every character.
So we cut to them at detention where they are cleaning stuff. Like, it's not, they're like doing the janitor's job.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Usually you just sit in a room, right?
Yeah. They start talking about, literally about fucking their teachers and
again,
how all
jail
of, and how all of them, like, they're like, okay, guys, here's the plot of the movie, I guess. We're all going to try to be the first one to fuck Purity Bush. And I'm like, okay, whatever. At least this movie has a place to be now.
Or so we thought.
Or so we think. So the preppy guy is driving in his car with the new kid. And the preppy guy points to his dashboard where he has a horrifying rape statistics or whatever. He's like, here's all of the, look at all these stickers. This is every girl I've ever fucked in my car. And there's like 1,000 stickers. It's really unfortunate.
It's very trashy.
So the preppy guy drives the new guy to Purity's house so he can sneak in and rape her, I guess.
Again, prison time is also...
or I don't know what, like, I don't know what the end game is here. Like, we'll go there and you'll sneak into her room. And he's like, and then what? Well, and then you do it. He's like, wait, what? He's like, you just go.
Yeah, there's no, like, plan after we get inside.
No, I'm like, what are you hoping he's going to do?
Oh, my. And then, like, yeah, and also, this is breaking and entering.
Oh, yeah. This is illegal. So, inside, Purity is praying to God, but she's praying to God through talking to her giant blue teddy bear. It's weird.
And about how awesome she is?
Yeah. Also, her parents are having sex, or going to, where the mom is on the ground barking like a dog and begging the father to have sex with her, who, the father's also wearing pajamas and boots, by the way.
Yeah, that was really strange. And he,
reluctantly agrees.
Yeah, he's like, ugh, fine, I guess I can, he doesn't want to do bad at his bowling tournament. That was the whole thing.
Fine, I'll have sex with you, I guess.
Yeah, and yeah.
Then, so the new kid finds Purity's window and starts throwing rocks at it. And then we cut inside where Purity is masturbating with this teddy bear.
Again, I'm uncomfortable.
Well, of course you are. Why would this be in a movie?
And she's, like, talking to it?
Oh, yeah. She's like, okay, maybe masturbating isn't the right word. She's fucking this teddy bear.
Yeah. That's...
She's like, yeah, teddy bear, get it.
Yeah. This is really strange. Why?
This is so awful. So... the kid trips on something. The dad goes to look what it was with a gun. The kid sneaks into the house, goes into the wrong bedroom, and then just starts to have sex with the mom.
And
which you could also call this rape, by the way.
And or, you know, sex with the minor.
It's rape on both sides.
Yes.
So we start to hear, like, while they're having sex, they're playing tiger noises for some reason. Like, there's just animal cat sounds.
Cougar, maybe? I don't know.
Well, who cares what the... That's not the point. I'm not asking you what the species is. I'm asking you why they're doing it at all!
Because it's the 80s.
Because it's the 80s. So the dad comes back and then chases him with a gun because, haha.
So, murder is fun, too.
Then we cut to the library, and I'm like, well, I don't know why this scene's even in the movie. I guess we made the movie and realized it was 70 minutes long.
Yeah.
So we're like, shit, we got to put something in here.
It's going to be made for TV if we don't make it a little longer.
So we cut to the library, where there is some sort of evil librarian. Like, she's evil.
To the point, any noise will be met with stiff resistance and yelling.
There is no talking whatsoever. She even yells at two deaf students for using sign language. Then we see all the boys who are reading these giant books because secretly they put nudie mags in them.
This is something that only happens in comic books where it's like, oh, look, I'm reading a nudie mag under my book.
I'm reading a comic book inside my science book in class.
Yeah.
As they are looking at these books, we start to see their boners. And their boners are making loud thumping sounds.
Like it's like a drum, like drum rolls.
And then the librarian yells at their boners.
And then she says, get that table out of here. That table, get out of here, or something like that. And they actually pick the table up and leave.
And so then we cut to, because that scene, that's the end of that scene. Nothing comes
there's
to
no
that.
There's no point.
That we get to see their awkward, like, mechanical penis props push through their pants while drums play. Then cut to cheerleader practice, where Howie is going to try and, you know, get laid from puberty. Puberty. Purity. Purity Bush. So he has this stupidly complex plan. So he calls puberty. God damn it.
Are you
going to
be all right over there?
Purity. I don't know why I want to say puberty. Purity to the pool over the intercom. So, but then all of the other girls of the cheerleading squad go with her.
Right.
He pulls this contraption in this other room. He's, like, in another building, almost.
Like,
and
he's through, like, a door in, like, two hallways. And
yeah, I don't know why he's so far away. So he rigs up this weird contraption, so he pulls it, and a giant inflatable hot dog that makes the diving board look like it has a boner expands.
And his goal here is also to hypnotize them, I guess?
No. His goal is to just woo purity into wanting to have sex with him, because you know what gets women off is a giant hot dog to make it look like a pool has a boner.
Huh.
And so the whole cheerleader squad pretends to be hypnotized by the hot dog boner to scare him.
Yeah,
something.
They want him to come out so they can beat him up.
So, yeah, so he runs out into the pool and drops his glasses into the pool because he's an idiot. Then they encircle him as this, like, group of hypnotized, topless zombie women. And then they just start to punch him. Then they chase him up to the diving board as the group of, well, I would never, donators are coming by. He gets chased all the way up to the diving board, where he grabs their bikini tops, yanks their tops off, and then we see some boobs, and then he falls into the pool. And then we all just jump in the pool and have a pool party.
And, of course, the donator's like, well, I would never.
But there's never the threat of, like,
losing
them,
funding or anything.
Them,
yeah.
Right, or they're not going to build the new whatever.
So no
or
one cares.
Like, right, like, if you have these people walking around and these comical mishaps with naked ladies keep coming up, like, have some, there's no stakes in this movie.
None.
There is never the threat of, oh no, if we don't do A, then B won't happen.
It's just rampant, like, wonder what they'll do next.
Yeah, basically, it's just like, what kind of wacky hijinks are these guys going to get into next? You sound so sad.
It is. This movie is like set in 1965. Why?
Well, but why is that the problem?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. And I have a hard time with it.
Sense.
I have a hard time with it.
Okay.
But I do get that. I get that it's supposed to be funny, but it was so over the top that I just couldn't, you know, get into it.
Well, yeah, because you just got to enjoy the whatever. I don't know.
I guess. No, like,
so then,
it's funny.
So that, well, it's not. But so then we cut to the beach where the detention boys are picking up trash. Because I guess the school owns this beach?
Yeah, more manual labor as well, I'm sure that... Yeah.
Wait. Them picking up trash, who cares? The school owns this beach?
Or has a contract
what?
With them? I don't know.
Like, the school is on the beach. What? Where in America is there a high school on the beach?
Up trash on the beach, yeah, and it's
that
like again.
The school owns.
Again, every movie like this. Where is this? Because I'd like to know. I wish I was going to high school there.
So then we cut to a drive-in where they are playing like this, like weird exploitation movie, which like women in jail. It's like a porn kind of. It's literally a porn. Like,
but is that like the local drive-in?
Yeah, it's they're like what? What? Also, every single car in the whole place is just people having sex. Every car.
Yeah, and it seems like only the teenagers really are there. Like, well, no, I guess there's one car of adults, I think.
Yeah, but they're also like, the dad is getting off on the porn that they're watching.
Right, yeah, so it's no better.
No. So, the new guy is in a van with the writer of the movie, whose character's name is Bootsy Goodhead.
Oh, boy.
So, they're in the car, and then Bootsy Goodhead just starts to fuck the new guy. Then the new guy sees that the preppy guy is fucking his sister, and then he gets out naked and has a fight while Bootsy Goodhead is, like, pressing her boobs up against the glass, but acting like she's in pain for some reason.
Yeah, it's not like she's not, like... hurt at all, like it's not like her leg,
but she's pretending like she's acting like she is hurt.
Yeah, but and it's not at all though.
So the naked new guy fights the preppy guy, and then the entire drive-in just starts punching each other.
It's like an old western movie
or like a fucking prison riot. Yeah. Like the cafeteria was like, it's madness.
Who wrote that? Oh, the lady with her boobs up against the window.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. When you know that, you're like, so the lady with her boobs up against the glass wrote the scene where a naked guy fights a guy with an ascot and then a prison riot breaks out
at a drive-in.
At a drive-in.
Makes sense.
She still makes movies, by the way. She makes family movies.
Oh.
So then the next day, all the dudes are on the beach, and they're burying Jurkowski so he can spy on women. Because I guess that fight that we just saw had no point and was completely irrelevant. Because there's never, like, a scene where, like, they make up.
No.
Where they're like, sorry, I punched you last night.
It becomes irrelevant immediately.
Immediately. It's as if this whole town has amnesia.
They forgot they made the scene.
They forgot they made the scene. So, then, this scene with Jurkowski in the sand is intercut between him and the preppy guy banging his biology teacher for no reason. Jurkowski is under the sand with a contraption that Howie made, which is like a Coke can with a periscope, so he can look at women on the beach, even though you can just sit on the sand at the beach and look at women. That's half the reason people go to the beach sometimes. So while he's there, a bunch of people come on top of where he's buried under the sand to play volleyball, but they play it with a soccer ball.
Canadians.
They string up this net. Oh, you're blaming it on that they're Canadians?
Yeah, something, I don't know.
Hey, we don't got a volleyball, eh?
For sure.
So they play volleyball with a soccer ball. A dog runs up and pees on him while he's under the sand. Then the preppy guy and the teacher mix some chemicals in their giant chemical warehouse that this high school has.
It's like Yale. They're doing, you know, special scientific experiments and medical science here.
This place is filled with nothing but chemicals, and it's bigger than a classroom.
Who's the hazmat coordinator here?
What, like, how much money does this school have?
Well, apparently those people that are walking around are very generous.
I guess they're just paying for all this shit, even though they can't stop being appalled.
Right.
So they start a chemical reaction, and they cause, like, a big smoke bomb, and they run out, and then nothing comes of that. Then Purity comes to the beach, lays on top of Jurkowski. He writhes out of the sand in what I can only assume is a plan to kidnap her, and she runs away.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, I mean, you imagine just laying down and someone's like, "Ah, come out of the sand like that."
So then, when you're like, "This movie could not be more appalling," all of these dudes then go to a sex shop. And at this point, I'm just thinking, when are these guys just going to get over it and fuck each other? They are clearly all a little gay and dramatically overcompensating for it. When are they just going to fuck each other? When was the last time you and your five best friends went to a sex shop to play with dildos and then Jurkowski eats edible panties?
I can't remember the last time. It's been a while.
So then they buy a jar of Spanish fly. So then we cut to the grand opening of the school's private airplane repair shop. Why don't you just make it a garage for cars?
Yeah, like, you know, like a like or like a Bose, you know, a tech part of the school or something.
Make it an auto body shop.
No.
An airplane repair shop.
Heck, did they run the airport in town as well, I wonder?
So if there's an airplane repair shop, there has to be a place, a way for those planes to get there. Does this school have its own airport?
It's a runway. Who's running the air traffic control center? Students?
What the holy hell is this? Is this... In the 80s, is this what Canadians thought American schools were like?
Probably.
Like, they're just tremendously ill-informed?
No, Canadians thought this is what American schools were like in 1965.
But it's not set in the 60s. It's set in
the 80s. No,
it is. It is what?
I believe it is actually set in the 60s.
Wow. Tell me how you think that. There's a girl walking around with the friggin', what's it called? Walkman.
Oh, well then, yep, that kills that.
So, the opening of this airplane repair shop is like a party. Like, the whole school is there.
Catered by the home ec class, apparently.
Catered by the home ec class. So, the preppy guy dumps the Spanish fly into the punch.
Right.
Which, for some reason, causes it to briefly light on fire. The punch bowl lights ablaze.
Yeah.
Maybe, and then
maybe not drink it.
And then everybody drinks it, and then they get horny, and they start fucking each other. And then, like, that's like there's 5 minutes of that, and then that scene kind of just ends.
Again, doesn't go anywhere.
Doesn't go anywhere. Then we cut to a bowling alley for some reason, where all the cheerleaders are bowling, but they also run the bowling alley.
Like, is this attached to the school as well?
I started to wonder, because when they're done bowling, they tell everybody else to leave and they close up shop. Like, what? What is this?
Yeah, and that's how I was like, who owns this?
So then the boys, the dudes show up just dancing. They just walk in there and they're just like bobbing their heads and shaking their shoulders to nothing. There's no music. They just walk in dancing. The girls see them and then they just start dancing. And now we're all just dancing.
To nothing.
We're just dancing.
And they decide it's a good idea to play a good old game of...
Sexy strip bowling.
One of my favorite games.
So it's just... all the people are... But it doesn't appear to be like there are any rules. No. It's just like, okay,
I hit down seven
time...
pins, take some clothes off. I hit a gutter ball, take some clothes... I'm like...
It's the rules of strip bowling are, I guess, every time you touch a bowling ball, you take clothes off.
I was like, how do you prevent that?
Then it's just, you know, it's just this whole montage of people, of girls just jumping up and down while their boobs shake. And then this ends with a bowling ball being thrown backwards. And it gets thrown at Howie the nerd, where his dick gets stuck in one of the bowling ball holes.
He can't get it off.
So then the girls make him jizz the bowling ball off.
Blow it away.
Yeah, like, they come up to him, and they're saying his name, and they're, like, petting his head and whatever. His shoulders. And then,
boom.
And then he, like, comes. And the bowling ball explodes off of his penis because this is a scene in this movie.
I will not be listening to this podcast again.
This movie is so dumb.
Where are we? Are we getting close to homecoming?
So whatever. Now we cut to home ec, where one of the dudes is dressed like a lady. So he can see, it's the same guy who did the freshman girl's breast exam, and now he's doing the home ec school's breast measurements. Why is this at the end of the movie?
This in home ec ever? I don't know.
This is the last scene before the end of the movie, like before the climax.
And it goes nowhere.
This is one of the things they do that was in the beginning of the movie. We haven't been doing anything like this specifically up until this point. Why is this at the end? It's almost like that they forgot that this, like, they dropped the script and these pages got all shuffled up and then they just made it in that order anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and how did they? Do you think the girls would have been on to this these kind of things by now?
All of them are.
Yeah.
Bootsy Goodhead recognizes the guy immediately.
And she's just like, oh, okay.
And she calls him out on it, and she's just like, that's the other thing. Again, because Bootsy Goodhead is one of the writers of this movie, a lot of the times when these guys are setting up their sexy pranks or whatever, their friends who are girls, because I don't think they're actually girlfriends, but their friends who are girls are helping them the whole time. Like, when they're like, hey, I want to make it so this thing looks like a boner, and then this girl's top falls off, and then I get to fuck her. And all the women are like, cool, how can we help?
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. So he is in there dressed as a lady, pretending to be the home ec teacher, because he kidnapped the actual teacher and tied her to a chair and then locked her in a room.
Again,
why are they not in jail?
Yeah, all of them have done offenses enough to be in jail. It's like, why?
So, again, the plan to bang Purity is dropped.
Yeah,
like,
that's
we're
no
not
longer.
We stopped doing that like 20 minutes ago. Like, once we start, like, strip bowling and the library scene, like, have nothing to do with it. It's like we forgot that that's what we said the movie was about.
Right.
Then the teacher escapes from the room. She's in a wheelchair. She wheels over there, rushes to the class. The guy and the teacher then have a physical fight where then the student grabs her wheelchair, pushes it out the door and off of a balcony to what I can only assume is her death. Then that just ends. Then we cut to a strip club where we just watch somebody strip for 5 minutes. Then we see the principal there, and we get a picture with him and a stripper. And you think, okay, this is where they're going to use that to get back at him because he's such a loser and a narc or whatever. Nope, we never do anything with it. Never. So then cut to all of them at a diner, where there is just a gag about a girl, like, literally deep throats a sausage. And I'm like, okay, guess we get to see that now. And then we cut back to the school, where they are putting together an elaborate prank for the pep rally. And basically, the plan is just create a lot of wind so that it blows Purity's clothes off during the national anthem. And it does. Then she's naked. And then the movie just abruptly ends.
Yeah, it's a really strange ending.
Like, she gets naked, and then the credits roll, and I'm like, this is what we were building to? This whole movie, where I've seen nothing but naked women, it's just like, hey, we got another one naked.
And, yeah, that was that movie.
That was that movie. Boy, was it ever. So, Francis, why don't you give us your final thoughts and your rating. Now, we're going to shake it up because it's 51, and there is some confusion between they hated it and I didn't hate it, and it gets really, like, weird how you say that because it gets jumbled in the translation.
Okay.
So we're keeping most of it. So we got I hated it, it's a good hangover movie, it's a good party movie, and the top one is now it's my favorite movie of all time.
Oh. Okay. Well, it was not my favorite of all time, so let's see. I will go with, I just hated it. So, yeah, I mean, the movie goes nowhere. There's no connection between the scenes. It made me feel uncomfortable.
It made you feel uncomfortable.
A little bit.
It's like when you used to watch a movie with mom and dad, and then all of a sudden a sex scene would come on, and you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember doing that. We're all on the couch, and we're watching Terminator, and it was one of the first times I'd watched Terminator. And I don't know if anybody, it's been a while since you've seen Terminator, but there is like a pretty long sex scene.
Yeah,
And like halfway through that movie. And it's like a sex scene. Like, it's not just some making out and some dry humping. Like, there's boobs and we're really pushing and, like, we simulate orgasms. And it's, like, pretty, it's a pretty tastefully done, but it's a sex scene. And when you're sitting there with mom and dad, you're just like, oh, God. Okay, don't look at the screen, but don't act like you're not looking at the screen. But don't look at them either and don't say anything.
So it made me feel uncomfortable, and I was just kind of like, man, it's not going anywhere. The scenes don't make any sense. I couldn't put this on at a party, and if I was hungover, I'd just be confused. So, yeah, I hated it. So, yeah, that's it. That's my review.
As for me, I thought that this was a brilliant time capsule of a movie. This is, as I said, that's why we're doing this, because it's the summer. These are summer movies that were just meant when it was a simpler time, and all you needed was this kind of movie, and you're like, they're like, yeah, we're having a good time or whatever. It's not good, but I didn't hate it because it's fun, but it's fun in, like, an ironic way. I don't want to say it's a good party movie, because that might get to be a weird party. Like, you know your friends, and you know who you're inviting over. Strongly evaluate whether or not this will be appropriate to put on. Maybe it will be, maybe it won't. If you doubt in your mind for 1 second, maybe not everybody will love this, don't put it on. But if you need to watch this for some reason, this could be a pretty solid hangover movie. Because you can lay on your couch and be like, oh, wow, it's just nothing. Nothing's happening. I don't have to think. It's just really stupid. I can imagine if you're hungover, it might force you to have, like, a half a chuckle. But I will recommend it.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Well, because you hated it, you have to recommend something now.
Yeah. I have to recommend something? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you hated the movie. You have to recommend a movie, and you didn't recommend this one, so what are you going to do about it?
Watch something more modern and silly. I don't know.
Like what?
I don't know, Scream. Not Scream. Scary Movie. Scary Scream.
Watch Scream.
Scary Movie.
You didn't like this 80s boob comedy? That
go
wasn't
horror.
Your thing? Go watch The Exorcist.
No. I meant Scary Movie.
Watch Scream.
My bad. I just...
watch Bridge Over the River Kwai.
It's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Well, that movie's more racist than this movie is.
Oh, boy.
So that brings this, our 51st episode, to a conclusion. So if any of you guys want to send us any email, you can send that to us at moviehotdog@gmail.com. We have a Twitter. You can follow us on that at moviehotdog. We have a YouTube channel where we're going to put all these up after we're done. Zach Space Hot Dog. We have a Facebook. Please like us, comment, send us messages, send us reviews, suggestions, I mean. This movie was a hot dog. If you get this on iTunes or Podomatic, please rate and review and subscribe, as it really helps the show. I am done talking. Francis, do you have anything to say?
Well, no, I don't. But for Reverend Zach, I'm Francis, saying this movie was a hot dog.